The We Are SC podcast for Wednesday, November 26th. Gary Paskowitz joined, as always, by Jeremy Hogue and Mike Lamb. Guys, it's a big week, no doubt about it, for USC folks. Whenever it's Notre Dame week, I think that takes on a little extra special meaning. But before we get to really talking about the Trojans and the Irish, let's revisit for a couple of minutes what happened last Saturday at the Rose Bowl, because it was a game that has certainly drawn a lot of attention on the We Are SC message boards right now from Trojan fans who are still trying to really digest what happened in that game in terms of the Trojans taking one on the shins from the Bruins in a manner that has, I think, just like I say, drawn a lot of attention right now. So let's just get things started and get kind of your overall thoughts on what you saw last Saturday. Jeremy Hogue, get us started.
Well, gosh, I mean, you can get really specific and talk about X's and O's and how the offensive and defensive lines played, how the USC secondary played, and I'm sure we can get into all that specifics. I think it's hard not to just start at a high level, though, and just say, you know, Steve Sarkisian came into this program, you know, hired just under a year ago. There were supporters of his and thought it was a great hire when he got hired. There were critics of his when he got hired. I think, you know, the course of this season has been a tough one for him personally and for this staff in terms of keeping the faith of the Trojan faithful out there, feeling like we're going in the right direction. I think, you know, everyone sort of looked towards these last two games, UCLA and Notre Dame, as being potential bellwethers for really making a statement that we are, in fact, on the right track. And unfortunately, where we sit right now with one of those games down is even, I think, the Steve Sarkisian supporters out there now have sort of some question marks in their mind about, is this really going in the right direction? Because you sort of think, okay, maybe USC fans hoped that it would have gone better. I think everyone hoped it would have gone better on Saturday against the Bruins. Maybe some people in their minds thought maybe it might not be, maybe UCLA is a better team right now this year, given all the different issues that USC had. But I think nobody actually thought that it was going to go as poorly as it actually went on Saturday. And so when your expectations really aren't lived up to, both in your optimism and in your, you know, your mind's thinking, and it actually goes worse than both of those, I think it's a big downer right now for the Trojan faithful. And, you know, the only good news, which I know we'll get to in a minute, is you got one more left and you can try to turn that around.
I thought that USC got outclassed in every aspect of the game, from preparation to where their emotions were to the coaching, all of it. UCLA was more physical, and that's hard for USC fans to accept. It's really hard for people who played there to accept. The things that we've been talking about all year long, we pointed out a lot of issues that we thought were shortcomings, some things that we probably weren't on board with, some decisions that were made, and those things all came to roost in the game at the Rose Bowl. So I don't know how you come out of that and think that this program's moving in the right direction, that this program is improving. It was one of those moments where you sat there and thought to yourself, oh my gosh, is this going in the wrong direction? And that's a question. I don't know that. I'm not going to judge whether Steve Sarkisian can coach or can't coach off of one UCLA game, but I would not be surprised if he has to make some sort of adjustments with his staff and some of the things that he's trying to do there. I think there's going to be, and you've used this term from the very beginning of the season, some self-examination about what he's done and what his staff is doing there. And you've got to give him some time to go recruit his players. I get that. Because right now he's got players that are not on par with the elite of college football. And we know about the sanctions and the scholarship limitations, and I don't want to use that as an excuse. I think there's good football players. I thought they were capable of a much better performance than that, but I just didn't see a team and a coaching staff that had prepared and had their team in a spot where they could compete and have a chance to beat. You know, they were humbled, and I'll go back and I'll say it again. They were outclassed in every aspect of that game.
Mike, let me pick up on that real fast. I'm sorry, Gary, but
yeah, no problem.
I talked at a very high level. You got into some specifics, and I just want to sort of echo what you said, because I think, you know, it's one thing that we sat here last week on this call, looked ahead to UCLA, and we talked about the fact that you know, USC's defensive line has not made the disruptive plays that it might need to make against UCLA. And it didn't do that. Brett Hundley sat back there all game long and did whatever he wanted to do without ever really having to run. We talked about USC's struggles on the offensive line and that, you know, the reshuffling of that group that we both had, you know, Mike and I both had concerns going into this game that all of a sudden we're going to face better competition and it's going to test this young offensive line. And we saw, you know, that, as Mike said, sort of come home to roost in a really, really big way. But at the same time, you see a UCLA team that struggled to beat Cal, that lost to Utah and gave up 10 sacks, that has played at times during the season, you know, in an up and down manner where, yeah, they have potential and they've got good players. But the question is who's going to really find their best game in the biggest game and really sort of, you know, have that staff lead them, prepare them, like Mike talked about, be ready to go in all phases and be able to rise to the moment. And, you know, clearly what we're seeing right now is UCLA and Jim Moore and his staff is doing that. And USC, Steve Sarkisian, his staff is not doing that. And, you know, whatever the reasons are, whatever those excuses are, it should not have been what it was on Saturday, you know, clearly. And the question is that sort of, you know, a symptom of something larger? Is that one game? You know, time will tell. But I think, you know, everybody's antennas are up that, you know, there's reason to be concerned.
I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that I think has been different in the last couple days since that game is hearing from the two of you and what you're saying and hearing from a lot of former players in the last couple of games. This thing seems to have, what happened on Saturday seems to have really resonated with former players. And Mike, you kind of hit it on the head. It was every era to me, you know, it seemed like everything the Trojans wanted to do, there may have been a good plan. There may have been a plan here. It seemed like UCLA was a step ahead in everything.
Yeah.
And the element of, and I don't know if physical is the right word. I don't want to know if that's it. But there was something that happened on that football field that day where the roles of USC and UCLA seemed to be reversed. And that, to me, is when you're hearing guys like Ricky Ellison and Ronnie Lott, you're hearing some of the things they're saying and the pained way they're saying it. That's the biggest thing for me coming out of this game is that was one that you said, whoa, that doesn't happen to USC that often against UCLA. And that seems to have really resonated with a lot of people, Mike.
Well, it does resonate, and there's a part to it where when you get really fooled on a play and you look bad and it's embarrassing or part of the vernacular, you got clowned, you know, whatever you want to talk about, no one wants to see that. And you as a player, for the Trojans, you pride yourself on not letting that ever happen. And if the other part of it is true, you're the player that's going to be dominant. And you're the one that's more prepared and more ready for it. And, you know, I just think about Brett Hundley and what he did. And, you know, he had the run that was just, you know, absolutely wide open. It just looked as though it was set up, and then executed with ease. The way that there were players out of position in the secondary and he was able to throw. Again, he was able to look like he could do that with ease. So anytime that your opponent is doing something like that and makes you look as though you weren't on their level and they were not, I think that starts the people that have been a part of it and really understand, you know, the aspect of what's going on in the huddle, in the locker room, not necessarily what's going on the week before. So and you said former players, that it doesn't sit well with what's happening. Here's the other thing. The people who played understand what's going on the other side of town. They see Jim Mora. They understand what he's about. They see the validation that he has received from Dan Guerrero and the fans and the players and the recruits. And it's a little bit scary because this series has usually gone back and forth, and whoever has the superior coaching staff is the one that's going to, you know, win in this series. So I think there was a lot of fear, and a lot of those fears were validated in this game.
And Jeremy, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I agree, and it goes back to what you asked, Gary, which is, you know, it feels different. It's like the roles are reversed, and I will, you know, I'll say quite honestly, I mean, I played when Terry Donahue and John Robinson and John Robinson's second go-around were there, and we lost to the Bruins, but there was no mistake of, you know, sort of the roles that these teams played, and that USC was the more physical team playing power football and UCLA, you know, and we were trying to win conference championships and try to compete to be in the national championship picture. And UCLA was very much playing a more finesse-style football, focused on some skill players. Soft is the word that's often used. And but they would play their entire season to win one game and win and beat USC. And they did that against us, and to them that was a success. Even when they weren't going to the Rose Bowl and weren't in a national championship picture, that was not the way USC played, and we were different. And it feels like something's changed. And again, not to praise Jim Mora too much, but I think he's actually come in and instilled that mentality that beating USC is not what they're all about anymore, and that they are going to be physical. He preaches what USC has always been about. And the question is, does that stick at UCLA? And if so, as Mike said, that's a little scary for some of us to sort of sense that, you know, are we really going to let them sort of take the baton out of our hand and sort of run with this mantra? Or are we going to sort of own that ourselves and take it back the way I think we all feel we should?
And what's incredibly interesting about this discussion is when you look ahead to Saturday with what's going to happen, and you're talking the quintessential big man on big man football game. This is the rivalry where that phrase came about. And so you're looking at ahead to next Saturday, and you're thinking about where things are. And I know we've kind of tossed this question out, but if you guys were in charge of this program right now, and you're sitting here saying you're in Steve Sarkisian's chair, and you're at the USC practice this week, and you're saying, hey, what can you do with the circumstances you have, and the roster you have, and the staff you have, to get a team ready and flipped around to play on Saturday, Jeremy? That seems to me, there's other things in the offseason to worry about, but the immediate issue right here is you've got Notre Dame coming to town on Saturday, and you want to absolutely avoid a repeat of what happened last weekend. How do you do that looking ahead to Saturday?
Well, I really do think that, you know, you get into the tactics of this week, and, you know, your first and foremost thing is to actually be thankful that you have a game this Saturday, because if UCLA had been the end of your season, you know, that sits and haunts you for a long period of time. But, you know, you get to sort of have an opportunity to go face your other big rival and potentially get that taste out of your mouth right away and turn the feelings of this program around. Whether substantively at the root of all the problems we're talking about have been dealt with or not, you know, that's another question. But tactically, you can do that this week. And to me, you know, I thought there were some significant flaws with game planning, at least on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, Mike, you can talk about the defensive side. I'll tell you from the offensive side of the ball, the way that we spread guys out did not help our tackles with any sort of tight end help or fullback help. The way that we sort of, you know, schemed our pass protections up front, you know, I felt like we put young guys that we, you know, Mike and I sit there and talked about, we anticipated there might be problems going into the game. And it seemed like that wasn't anticipated going into the game by this staff. And as a result of that, you know, there were missed assignments and other things, but guys were just getting beat. And in my mind, you bring, the tight ends back into the game, you bring the fullback back into the game, you shore up the line of scrimmage, and you take Notre Dame on. And you do that with our running game, you do that even with our passing game, and I think you send, even if you send fewer guys out on routes, but you know that guys have the ability to get open and you've got an accurate quarterback, I think that's what you have to do. But you have to make sure that you are winning the line of scrimmage, at least battling at the line of scrimmage. Simplify your pass protections. Make sure that the chances for missed assignments and all those things sort of get dialed down with this young line. And you go take them on, and you have to do that. I was surprised we didn't adjust to that in the second half of the game on Saturday, and I'm hoping we see some of that this coming week.
You've got a very, very valuable resource if you're USC. And if you look at all the players on the field, the most valuable resource you really have is Cody Kessler. And if you don't protect him, you're making a mistake. So to just build a little bit upon Jeremy's point, you've got to look at what can get you a win. And I thought if the Trojans were going to win against UCLA last week, it would be because Cody had some great game. At the end of the game, and I went back and watched the TV copy, you know, Todd Blackledge is talking about Cody Kessler losing confidence in the guys that are blocking up front for him because he continued to get hit and he got frustrated. And I kind of thought to myself, that's the last thing that should happen. So if you learn from what happened last week, you've got to do some things to protect him. And, you know, I go back to thinking, you know, people ask me why Steve Spurrier didn't, you know, work and why it didn't work in the NFL. Because he didn't protect the quarterback. You know, it's a real simple thing. And you would think that Coach Sarkisian would understand that because he played the position. You've got a guy, I mean, who's really been the shining star when this team has played well? It's been Cody. So somehow, some way, you've got to make sure that he is protected and try to run the football. I don't know that the Trojans line can run against Notre Dame. I have my doubts that that will be the case as well. And then on the flip side, you know, defensively, well, Notre Dame's got a pretty special quarterback, but he's had some moments when he's had some lapses, and that's been when somebody has been able to get to him. So do you go ahead and do the things that you do when you're able to get pressure on the quarterback? Do you bring pressure? Do you bring blitzes? Do you do some of those things? I don't know why not, because, you know, this game is, you know, if you lose it, you lose it, and everybody's already upset, so how bad is it going to be? Do you kind of throw conventional wisdom out the window on defense, come after them, try to confuse them, and try to make things happen? I don't know why not. I just really don't know what this staff and this team has to lose right now.
I think that's one of the more frustrating things for Trojan fans when they're looking at what happened on Saturday. Is it? I think people would have accepted if you'd have just gone balls out and just thrown everything out there and tried everything you possibly could. If you come up short at the end of the day, you come up short. But it just didn't feel like there was that response, that change of strategy, that surprise thing to break out of your holster. That it is trying something new. And I'll tell you, Jeremy, as I'm listening to you talk about the offensive line and talking about giving help with a tight end and a fullback, it's just amazing that so many people who didn't play, so many people who were just watching it at fans, that's what they're screaming too. And so to hear you say it, hear people who played say it, you sit there and you say, why is this not happening? These things that seem to be basic in a game like that, it's just frustrating sometimes when you see the Trojans out there and things aren't working, and it just seems like that response hasn't been there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked last week about in-game adjustments and having a first-half plan and a second-half plan and even sort of a plan B if your plan A isn't working. And different, you know, we've talked about that stuff over the course of the season. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, like you said, Gary, I don't know what else to really say about it other than we aren't really seeing it to date. And, you know, maybe it's something, you know, it's hard to say that that's going to change in 1 week going into the Notre Dame game. But certainly you do hope that there is change from last week to this week in terms of identifying some of the weaknesses that maybe some people saw and anticipated and this staff didn't anticipate. Maybe they thought that, you know, Tola Lobodon and Zach Banner were going to be able to handle the speed rush no problem. You know, clearly at the end of the day, if that's what they thought, they were a little overconfident on that because that wasn't the case. But I think everyone's eyes, you know, there's no excuses anymore for not having your eyes wide open to what we really have up front. And it's all back to what Mike said. You have to protect this quarterback and give him a chance to make plays for you. He will do that when he's protected. He's shown that over the course of the season. But if he can't stand upright and can't even, you know, step into a throw, clearly, that's not a recipe for success. And I think defensively, I agree with Mike. I think that you've got another quarterback that can make plays. I don't think he's nearly what Brett Hundley is, and I don't think their offense seems to be nearly as dynamic as UCLA is. You know, maybe that's, you know, a recipe for success for our defense. But I think, you know, we've got to get in that backfield and be disruptive, even if it requires us, you know, blitzing more. Make, you know, stuff the run and make plays in their backfield and make them try to beat us throwing the ball. That's not Notre Dame's strength. And you know, I'm optimistic. I actually think that Notre Dame is not the team that UCLA is by any stretch, and the Trojans should be favored in this game. And if we can recover from last week, make some adjustments, we've got the players to go win this game. I fully expect to win this game. And again, I think we'll see, to me, that the mental recovery that this team needs to have is going to show very early whether they're ready to play.
And Gary, if I might kind of circle around on that and what we've been talking about at this game, which is a special game and doing things a little bit differently, I just want to share a story. I was privy to a moment when Jeremy was playing, and it was John Robinson's second go-around, and I was in the office when John was game planning for Notre Dame, and he looked at everybody and he said, "We're playing Lou Holtz, change everything." And I loved it. You know, just it was a very simple kind of 40,000-foot command, like change everything. Whatever we've been doing, he's going to be on to. So let's go with another approach. And you know, things tend to repeat themselves. This is a special game. You might do things a little bit differently. And again, why not? Why not do something like that? And it worked in the past. This is a special game, and really the legacy of a team at USC is going to be built on pretty much what they did against Notre Dame.
Let me throw this one out to you really quick, Mike. Buck Allen, last three games have not been what they were in the season, and as we discussed last week and before, you know, the loss of Chad Wheeler at left tackle has had an impact on this offensive line. I don't think there's any question.
Huge.
Where do you view Buck right now on what's going on and what you hope to see from him on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think Buck all of a sudden can't run. I don't think Buck all of a sudden doesn't have any vision. I think the change in the offensive line is something that you touched upon, and I think you're right on point. So, you know, what's supposed to happen now? You know, can this team all of a sudden get physical and start to run against these guys? You know, I don't think so. They couldn't run against Cal. And Cal has a D lineman that are really a bunch of blown up high school nose tackles. You know, they don't move around real well, but you know, they were pretty good against the run. So now you've got Notre Dame, you've got guys that have got that sort of physical ability and they can move. So it's just going to make it tougher, for them to get done. The Trojans are running a lot of gap. And gap is a play that's a little bit slow developing. You know, it's a little misdirection involved. You know, you want people to think you're going one way or you're trying to get the angles. And I don't know that that's necessarily working right now. The plays haven't developed. I think USC's gotten scouted on that. People know what to anticipate. So that's really part of it. The change, the loss in the offensive line has not helped them. But I really think that what the Trojans are doing, defense is starting to catch on to it. So I'll go back to it again. Try to do something a little bit different than you did in the past. And, you know, maybe try to run some zone and more often than you're running gap. And I know the reason they run it is because they don't have great linemen. They want to get those angles. But right now it's just not working for them.
Hey, Jeremy, if we're going to flip it over to the other side of the ball, and, you know, you guys mentioned earlier you've got Everett Golson, another very good quarterback, a guy who saw success against USC. He has a victory under his belt in the Coliseum 2 years ago. If you're sitting here developing a game plan and you look at what SC did last week against Brett Hundley, what do you do if you're trying to contain Everett Golson?
Well, I mean, I really think that it was odd watching it. You know, we talked pregame about, hey, we didn't want to see Brett Hundley running down the field for 80 yards like he did the year before. And guess what? You know, Justin Wilcox and Steve Sarkisian decided the same thing, and they kept him from doing that. But at the same time, you can't not have pressure, and you can't not have a pass rush, and you can't not try to, you know, bring some pressure from blitzers or whatever it might be to try to create some disruptive plays. And it seemed like, the Trojans last week, you know, sort of were content to stay at the line of scrimmage and let Brett Hundley sit back there, which just put immense amount of pressure on our secondary. And so, you know, to me, I would just go back to playing the type of and style of game that we've been playing earlier in the year against these teams that, you know, like when we played against Arizona, like when we played against Arizona State, you know, save for the last few minutes. You know, this defense has done a very good job against sort of spread mobile quarterbacks, guys that can, you know, get a little creative and make plays. We've played well against those types of teams up until this past week. I think that defense, you know, for the first, you know, save the last several minutes of most of these games, is what we need to be doing. I think we've got to stuff the run, which has been our strength all year. Notre Dame is going to start by trying to establish the run. And then Golson's going to try to make plays when it gets into third down situations and try to convert. I think we've got to come after him in those situations. You know, not let him just scramble around, buy time, and put pressure on our secondary to have to cover guys for 5-6 seconds down the field.
Mike, if you were to give the pregame speech, if they were to ask Mike Lamb to come in here and say, you played for Marv Gu, you were recruited by Marv Gu, And we want you to illustrate to these players what the USC-Notre Dame rivalry is through Marv Gu's eyes. What would that speech be?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's not necessarily the pregame speech. That whole mantra starts the first day that you get there, the first day of practice as a freshman. And I can recall Coach Gu talking about Notre Dame in August. And I thought, well, I don't think the Notre Dame game is, you know, till the end of the year. What's the deal? And you didn't get it until that game got there, and then you started to understand. It is one of those things where it's that challenge, that physical, mental challenge, where you're going to rival somebody that is your equal. And there's something so special about that. You know, you can't deride what Notre Dame is. You can't put it down. You have to respect it. And that's what's so special about the game. And if you can win it, it's a special feeling that you got past an opponent that's as good as you are. And so to me, it was always one of those things like, guys, this is going to be a fight. It's going to be as tough as anything you're ever going to face in your athletic career. But you're going to figure out a way to get it done because that's what Trojans do. And of course, you know, I would never try to channel Marv Gu because, I mean, as a guy I respect as much as anybody ever. So out of deference to his legend, I'm not going to try to recreate what he did, but I'll just say how it affected the team when you went out there, you knew and you had heard from him all year long that this was the biggest thing of the year. And it didn't have to be the pregame speech. It was something that was ingrained in you, and it was part of every fiber of you as a football player at USC.
Jeremy, any closing thoughts to respond to that?
I would just say this. I mean, you know, great coaches and great staffs tend to have a guy like that, and Marv Gu may have been one of a kind that really had no equal in Trojan history, but, you know, great staffs tend to have some. I don't know who that is on this staff. You know, another comment I would make is great teams tend to have great leaders at the different units. And I think, you know, everyone knows and senses that Cody Kessler is a strong leader. And I think we all sense that, you know, Hayes Pollard and Leonard Williams are strong leaders. But, you know, you look across most teams, and Mike can comment on it, you know, you've got to have your leader on the offensive line. You've got to have your leader as your, you know, in the secondary. You've got to have your guys. And right now, you know, the one thing I will say to not sort of give in to this excuse is this is a young team where you don't see that leadership at every unit the way you might with a team that's a little more senior. But this is an opportunity. So I'll turn that into the opportunity. This is an opportunity for a Max Turek, you know, whoever it might be, a Gerald Bowman, for not just these young freshmen to sort of be the playmakers on this team, but actually for some of these older guys to sort of stand up. And it doesn't happen just on Saturday. It happens right now during practice week, getting the team focused in that film room, in that team room, you know, even working and even challenging your own coaching staff that, no, this is not good enough. We need to do something different. Those things need to be happening, and this is an opportunity coming out of what happened last week to potentially sort of, you know, see if some leadership arises, both on that staff and on this team, to see if something changes from a leadership standpoint going into this Saturday against Notre Dame. And if that happens, it could be the birth of something, you know, maybe special heading into 2015. That's where you sort of look into the ashes and see, can something good come out of this?
And I think that's one of the biggest things that you've said today, Jeremy, is talking about the opportunity to flip things around. Yes, that was tough what happened last Saturday, but if you were looking to an opportunity to flip that, if you're looking at an opportunity to redeem that this very next week, that there is no opportunity better than the chance to face Notre Dame in the Coliseum senior night. This is that chance. And so I'm with you, anxiously awaiting to see what happens at 12:30 in the Coliseum. USC Notre Dame, you really don't need to hear any more than that. For Mike Lamb and Jeremy Hogue, this is Gary Pasquitz. You're listening to the We Are SC podcast.